for all of your Wisconsin Badgers news from the recruiting trail, on the field, and near the rim.
This is the Badger Blitz Podcast.
If you want to be a Badger, just come along with me by the bright shiny light of the moon.
On Overtime Media.
Welcome back to another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. Of course, powered by Overtime Media, this is Jay Kokorowski, senior writer. We got alongside me in the Vivid Seats studio, John McNamara, editor and recruiting analyst. We are just a couple days away from the number 13 Wisconsin Badgers taking on the number 3 Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus at the Horseshoe. A very daunting task for Paul Christ and his team. And we talked about the debacle in Illinois. That's in the past now. That was on Sunday's episode. Looking ahead, we got a lot coming up. You'll hear from, obviously, Kevin Noon, part of the Rivals team over at Buckeye Grove, has a lot of great information about what's made Ohio State tick so well and fire on all cylinders this season through 7 games. He'll join us in just a little bit. And, of course, John and I will give our keys to the game on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, along with game predictions. You also hear from Isaiah Loudermilk in maybe about 5 to 10 minutes, but some quick breakdowns right now. This is a, of course, 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time. That's noon Eastern for those making it out to Columbus or any East Coast Badgers that listen to this program. You got Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, Jenny Taft on air, fourth on Fox, and then, of course, you have on the Badger Sports Network for those that listen through the iHeartRadio. When you search WIBA, it is Matt LaPay, Mike Lucas as the analyst. You have Patrick Herb on the sidelines. And, John, we got the updated injury report today and one new name. Now, Leal Chanel, inside linebacker, along with fullback Mason Stocky, both still questionable with their respective head injuries. They missed the last two games each. And Chanel missed the Northwestern game with a head injury. But a new name, starting defensive end, Garrett Rand, questionable, also had a hit with a head injury. 7 games, 12 tackles, yet in the 3-4 defense too, we know that Wisconsin, you're not maybe going to see a lot of stats from those defensive linemen, but it's, in terms of depth, I think Wisconsin's defensive line is a lot better than last year. But in my opinion too, this affects the defensive line and rotations with Isaiah Loudermilk, with, of course, Matt Henningsen, and then the nose tackles, Bryson Williams and Keanu Benton, dependent upon if they use a 2-4-5, which is two defensive linemen format, or a 3-4 base defense too. John, in your opinion, how does this affect the defense heading into the Ohio State matchup?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, with Garrett Rand being a starter, that hurts quite a bit. You definitely want to be, you know, coming in at full strength or as close to full strength as you can against a team like Ohio State. But then you look at the depth there, and you mentioned Henningsen. If Rand isn't able to go, you would imagine that he's plugged in. He's going to play quite a bit. But, you know, behind that at defensive end, you know, I don't know how much deeper that you can really get there. You know, we've seen David Pfaff. Beyond that, you know, maybe Isaiah Mullins is next up. But, you know, that's not a particularly deep position. So, you know, if Rand is not able to go, you know, like I said, Henningsen's next up. But I think beyond that, he might have to get creative where, you know, maybe a guy like Benton bumps outside, or, you know, maybe we see a little bit more of Bryson Williams and Benton on the field. You know, he might just have to get a little bit more creative in his looks because, you know, defensive end is just not a deep position for Wisconsin right now.
And like I said, he is questionable. So those three Badgers, I'll be upstairs in the press box in Columbus. We'll let you know who we see, and we'll let you know who's on the travel roster for that matter, if Chanel, if Stocky, if Rand all make the trip to Columbus this weekend. But before we get to our keys of the game, let's play our conversation that I had with defensive end Isaiah Loudermilk. Just on Monday, we talk about the performance against Illinois. We talk about what's ahead with Ohio State and how he's progressed, how he's feeling through 6 games. He has played in all 7 games, because last year he missed 4 games. He only played 9 of 13 in 2018. So I asked him about his health. We talk about the defensive line in general, and of course, what's ahead against Ohio State. So Here he is on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast.
We're here with Isaiah Loudermilk. And Isaiah, I just talked to you a second ago before I started the recording, but how are you feeling? You know, how's the team feeling, you know, this Monday heading into Ohio State week?
We're feeling pretty good. It's a new week. So our main focus now is Ohio State. You know, we've moved past last week. We'll take that as a lesson, you know, learn from last week. But, you know, every week's different, so we got to move on to this week. So ever since this morning, we're all Ohio State.
Looking back real quick on that loss, was there something that stood out with some of the explosive plays that Illinois gained against you guys on defense? Is there anything that popped out in terms of assignments or execution? What stood out to you?
It pretty much came down to, you know, they capitalized on what they needed to capitalize on. They hit holes. We made mistakes here and there. You know, they were able to exploit those. But we'll get all that stuff cleaned back up this week. You know, moving on to just pretty much just thinking about Ohio State now. You know, just moving past that.
I'd say with Ohio State, I mean, that offense I know scores nearly 50 points per game, putting up yards on both rushing and passing. Is there one thing that stands out or one or two things that stands out about that offense?
You know, it's definitely an explosive offense. They've, got tools to be, a really, really good offense. So, we're going to treat this week, just like any other. You know, we're going to study, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, kind of just stuff like that. But it's going to be a good offense. We're definitely going to have to play sharp defense, which I think we can do on Saturday. We'll have to play physical, no mistakes, but it is a good offense. But I think our defense will be pretty much we'll work all this week to prepare for it. So
what's that with Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins? I know Fields is a Georgia transfer, 22 touchdowns to only one interception, and 70% of his passes have gone for completions, and you have Dobbins near 1,000 yards rushing. What stands out on tape from your early viewing so far about how they execute that?
That's just, part of who they are. They've got a great quarterback, great running back. They're whole offense, is filled with weapons. So we'll just pretty much just the same thing come out this week, pretty much just like any other week. We'll, go through little details of stuff, that we'll need to do. But those are explosive players, and those are players that we will have to stop.
Your play, you've played in all the games this year. You know, I know you missed, four last year. But how are you feeling personally, and how do you feel yourself growing through seven games?
I'm feeling good, especially, being able to have played in all the games and, the last 2 years kind of being, here and there for me. I miss a game here, with an injury, come back and then maybe miss a little bit more. But, body's felt extremely good this year. I definitely have focused more on, maintaining my body, trying to stay healthy because, can't help the team if on the sideline and stuff like that. But that's something me and Garrett had really kind of focused up on is being able to stay out there, being durable.
So when it comes to as well just the defensive lines plays a lot, look a little bit more broadly, how have you seen, you mentioned you and Garrett are back, after Garrett missed all of last year and you missed four games, but then you're seeing more experience with Matt Henningsen. You have Bryson Williams now back from injury, and then also Keanu Benton. Seems like you guys have a good two deep of defensive line for a defensive line.
Yeah. This year is, a lot different from last year's D-line. We did have, kind of the same people on the line last year, but I feel like our growth that we've made as a D-line has been great, from top to bottom. People like the twos, Faf, Keanu's stepping up into a big role this year. He's played extremely well. Matt he's grown, you know, so much since last year, and he's still growing throughout the season. You know, he's the person who you can put out there. He'll make plays, and he'll, you know, do what he needs pretty much to do. But you know, I feel like as a unit, we've definitely grown a lot. You know, grown in our meeting rooms, grown closer to each other, and you know, we've studied more football, we've played more football. So I feel like as a whole, you know, we're, you know, coming together a lot more.
Joining us now on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, our rivals cousins at Buckeye Grove. We got Kevin Noon on the show. Kevin, man, looking forward to making the road trip tomorrow as we're recording on Thursday. So Badger Blitz will be making its way down to Columbus starting on Friday. Before we get into a little bit more of the specifics about the team, first off, where are some good places that people can go? Some Badger fans that are heading down to Columbus, where can they go for a good meal and a good beer?
Well, Columbus has got a great brewing scene going on right now, and you really can't miss a brewery here and a brewery there. I mean, they're everywhere. Don't go to the brewery district, though, because you would sit there and think, well, all the breweries would be in the brewery district. Well, they're not. There's some in the Short North. I think the Short North is a great area to go to. There's the Pint House, which is not a brewery, but they've got a lot of beer selections, a lot of televisions. Probably will have a lot of Buckeye fans. But when it comes to like some of the breweries, there's Elevator, there's Seventh Son, there's Wolf's Ridge. I mean, we could probably do a whole show talking about the various breweries. I happen to live way out on the east side of town, so I don't really get to the downtown breweries all that much. But you're not gonna have a hard time finding a good meal and a good pint if you know what you're looking for.
Getting to the game, obviously Ohio State number 3 in the AP poll, just decimating opponents. But with the new full-time head coach in Ryan Day, after he took over 3 games for Urban Meyer last season, what has been the general impression, in your opinion, about how he's changed any culture, how he's changed offense or some things with defense? How has this team responded so well to him in his first season as head coach?
Well, you know, when they sit there and say, when something's not broke, don't fix it. So there were a lot of things that were not broke. So, I mean, he was able to carry over so many things. I mean, starting just with like support staff. I mean, he kept all of Urban's support staff, which I think was really important. But he did go after the things that needed to be fixed. And one of those, I mean, the biggest one is going to be the defense. I mean, Ohio State led the nation in chunk plays allowed of, you know, 30-yard, 40-yard, heck, 80-yard plays last year. I mean, it was horrible. And this year they lead the nation in terms of the least allowed. And I think they've only allowed 4 plays of more than 30 yards so far this season. But in making those defensive changes, they went away from running press quarters all the time to running more cover 1, cover 3 type of things in terms of zone. And I think that's really allowed them to play faster, because it's a lot more see ball, get ball, read, react, instead of having to completely overthink things. And, you know, they're doing it with a lot of the same personnel. And I think it just goes to show, you know, some great decisions that were made there. And then offensively, they've gotten away from being a, you know, just a straight pure passing team. But, you know, that's where you kind of needed to be with Dwayne Haskins. He wasn't going to win the foot races. You know, he threw for 50 touchdowns. Now they have Justin Fields in there, who actually is ahead of Dwayne Haskins' quarterback responsible record by 1 right now, but he's done it with, you know, a better combination of his arms and his legs. So, you know, they've just really been able to respond well to, you know, keeping some things that were working and making the tweaks where they needed to.
And then talking about that offense a little bit more, you said it's not necessarily obviously a passing game anymore, but, you know, or passing, like a pure passing attack. What do they do with a quarterback like Justin Fields, who has completed over 70% of his passes, nearly 1,500 yards, 22 touchdowns to just an interception, but also in the backfield with J.K. Dobbins? And also, what do they do with in terms of the receivers that have made it such a dynamic offense, where it's scoring nearly 50 points per game and putting up, you know, over 500 yards per contest?
I mean, they do everything. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's kind of just nuts how they've had success at pretty much anything that they've touched out there in terms of the offense. I mean, yeah, they've had a couple slow starts. They're a much better second quarter team than first quarter team. Michigan State held them to, I think it was like 16 yards on 13 plays or 16 yards on 16 plays in the first quarter of that game before Ohio State's typical second quarter onslaught happened in there. But, you know, they don't ask Justin Fields to do too much, but Justin Fields is able to make all of the throws. I mean, it's not a lot of just little, you know, short throws and you know, big runs after the catch. I mean, he can sit there and make those strong-armed, you know, throws from, you know, from the far hashes to the numbers, and you know, he can throw a very nice deep ball. So, I mean, they really mix things up there. I would say that the majority of his throws are outside the numbers, though. And, you know, that's fine because it's there. And especially if a team like Northwestern who tries to zone them, you know, they're going to find a lot of spots there. But they also have a great package of man-beater routes that they run as well. So, you know, it's kind of a pick your poison there. And then when it comes to the running game, you have J.K. Dobbins, who I believe is only about 10 yards behind Jonathan Taylor in terms of total yardage, but is significantly behind him in terms of touchdowns, just based on the makeup of the offenses and what they, you know, what they try to do. But, you know, Dobbins has looked much more like his freshman form in 2017 when he went for 1,400 yards rather than what we saw last year, where he still broke the 1,000-yard plateau. But, you know, that the 1,000-yard plateau doesn't mean what it used to mean when teams are playing 14 games, and just based on the evolution of where the game is right now. And then they have a really talented backup in Master Teague, who already has a little bit more than 500 yards. Granted, a good number of it is kind of in quote-unquote garbage time, but I think he gives them a real good, you know, secondary option. And, you know, one more thing about the offense as well is everybody going into the season really commented on how Ohio State was breaking in four new starters, which wasn't necessarily true because you bring in the transfer Jonah Jackson from Rutgers. He was a captain there, so he was a starter. You know, you have Wyatt Davis, who started a game or two last year. You bring back Brandon Bowen, who was injured for all of 18, but he started in 17. It wasn't as much of a rebuild on the offensive line as you know, you might have read in like in a Phil Steele magazine or something when you're just looking at the numbers. When you really, you know, when you really looked at a bigger picture, it was just a matter of them having to put together a lot of pieces into forming an offensive line, you know, something that Wisconsin fans are well accustomed to with the great lines they've had through, you know, since the start of the Barry Alvarez era.
Now looking at the other side, obviously that defense is also running on all cylinders, but 8 points per game allowed per contest. What have you seen from them, especially a player like, I know everyone's going to talk about Chase Young, dynamic, great pass rusher, 9.5 sacks, 10.5 tackles for loss. But who else makes that defense churn and really create a lot of problems for opposing teams?
Well, it's a situation of where the defensive line has played so well that it makes the secondary look great. And the secondary itself is playing well, and that makes everybody else look great. So, you know, you kind of are seeing it on both fronts there. I mean, obviously Chase Young is going to be the guy everybody's talking about. I understand that, you know, the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft will probably be a quarterback, but it really needs to be Chase Young. He's a different type of maker. But when you're asking about some players that, you know, really need to be noticed, I would sit there and say Jeffrey Okuda, the cornerback for Ohio State. I mean, he has just been a lockdown corner. I mean, while Ohio State still will play a lot of cover one and cover three, they still don't, you know, they won't hesitate to put these guys out on islands. And if they have to sit there and put 9 or 10 in the box to try and account for Jonathan Taylor and try to, you know, limit the run game, they're going to feel fine putting a guy like Jeffrey Okuda out on Quintez Cephas if that's what it calls for. Sean Wade is a guy who can play corner and safety. Ohio State really has been running kind of three corners and one safety in their scheme. And, you know, Sean Wade can really fit into all of those roles. And then I think that Malik Harrison, the linebacker, is a guy that was – Ohio State's linebackers did not perform particularly well last year on the whole. But I think Malik Harrison was the most known quantity coming out of last year. And while sometimes he does allow himself to get out of position a little too much, he's so athletic that the Buckeyes really have not been burned by that so far this season.
We'll ask you before we let you go this last question. What are the keys to the game on both sides for the teams in your eyes? And what do you think the score will be on Saturday at noon Eastern time kickoff on Fox?
Well, I think the Buckeyes just have to get out there and do what they do. It looks like it's 100% chance of rain, just the severity of the rain and what, you know, when it's going to hit and how heavy it's going to be really is the question. But, you know, the Buckeyes have been practicing this week with like wet ball drills and things like that. But, you know, the Buckeyes just have to be able to be patient with the run if it's not there at first. I mean, we saw them go through some of that against Michigan State, and then, they ended up running for 323 yards. Justin Fields, you know, I think that they just have to be able to protect him enough and let him go through his progressions. But I don't think he's going to have the time to get out there and go through a lot of advanced routes and double moves and whatnot, because the Badgers are going to bring the heat. And then when you look at Wisconsin, they're just going to have to be able to get a run, because I went back and I looked at, you know, the number one Wisconsin rusher going into each of the Ohio State games going back through the 2010 season. And I think in seven games, four times the Buckeyes have held the leading rusher to less than 100 yards. The Badgers have not had their lead running back score a touchdown in a game against Ohio State since the 2012 season. So it's going to be so imperative for them to be able to get Taylor going and not fall too far behind, because I just don't know if putting this on the arm of Jack Cohn is necessarily going to be, a great situation for them if they get down, 14, 17 points. And then, of course, protecting Cohn is going to be just paramount as well with Ohio State's pass rush. But the thing is that Ohio State's going to have to be mindful just with screen passes and things along those lines, that they can't allow their own aggressiveness to be, their undoing by being too eager to try and get to the quarterback and allow, guys who are really talented in space to get into space and, pick up huge tracts of land. And then when it comes to a final score, though, I think that Ohio State, I think the teams will play close early on. I mean, the weather is always going to be a great equalizer as well. But I think that Ohio State's just going to be too deep on the offense, and I think they'll do a pretty good job of bottling Taylor up, more or less. I see him popping off a couple of big plays, but I'm just not sold on Jack Cohn's ability to really be able to affect this game in terms of a positive way in the offense to throw for a big game and have 265 yards and a couple of scores. I think Ohio State's secondary is going to be too strong. Buckeyes will pad some points in the second quarter and pull away in the third, and they'll win this one 38-17.
Kevin, man, appreciate your insights. Looking forward to seeing you in the press box. Real quick, for those that subscribe to Rivals or to BadgerBlitz.com, there is premium content on Buckeye Grove. What's coming up from you guys heading into this weekend?
Well, we've just been really trying to, put everything into perspective. We'll have our staff picks coming out, on Friday, as well as a piece that we did with you that we call Behind Enemy Lines, where we ask five questions about the Badgers so we can educate the Ohio State fans a little bit more about the upcoming opponent. And then, be sure to stay tuned after the game when we will do our own podcast, our Buckeye Grove Instant Access podcast, the BIA show, within about 45 minutes after the game. And we'll, myself and Brayton Moles and Keaton Maisano will break down the game and put everything into perspective going into Ohio State's second open week.
Folks, that's Kevin Noon. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll have our keys to the game and wrap up the show here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Of course, this Saturday, it's the can't miss regular season game of the year, pitting some of the Big Ten's elite programs, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Even with that loss to Illinois, this should be a matchup of conference heavyweights. And if you're out to Columbus, make sure you have your seat for the game with Vivid Seats. And hey, 2 weeks from Saturday, make sure you do that at Camp Randall Stadium when Wisconsin hosts Iowa. Why? Because Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for the events you want to go to. You can sort by price or for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards, that allows fans to earn credit back. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, which, hey, that's kind of a nice deal there. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. And when it's time to buy, new users enter promo code OVERTIME at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. All right, Badger fans, of course, Wisconsin did not get the win at Illinois, but this week it's Ohio State, and my bookie is your place for even more action for the game. Not only your point spread in total, but my bookie offers in-game wagering, so track the action and movement as the game takes place. Game props, playoff odds, and national championship odds are available too. Oh, and we can't forget the Heisman odds as well, especially with Jonathan Taylor in the Wisconsin backfield. And that just scratches the surface. We have teamed with MyBookie this October to give you this great offer. Sign up at MyBookie.ag and use promo code OVERTIME, and they will match your first deposit. Again, promo code OVERTIME, and new users get their first deposit doubled. MyBookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid. Today's episode of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media, is brought to you by CBS Sports HQ, the brand new streaming sports news network. It's live 24/7 and costs you nothing. That's right. It's sports coverage that's always on and always free. Always. And in my opinion, that's what makes it so great. And that's why I love going to CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is coverage always focused on the game. Tons of highlights, breaking news as it happens, fantasy advice, and something we care about deeply here. Gambling picks and analysis to get that extra edge. I know when I turn on CBS Sports HQ, I'll see the tips and trends I need to win my bets. And don't forget, you can get access to all this great coverage completely free. I don't mean free for a week or a month, or if you have some special cable package. It's totally, completely free for everybody. You don't even need a login. Just download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, or other connected device at any time to watch CBS Sports HQ. No fake debates, just sports for real fans at the great price of completely free. You don't even have to log in or sign up for anything. Download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. And we are back here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. Jake Okorowski, senior writer, alongside John McNamara, BadgerBlitz.com's editor and recruiting analyst. John, this is going to be a tough matchup for Wisconsin. We all knew it when you circled this date on the calendar at the beginning of this season. Ohio State, number 3 in the nation, according to the AP poll. On top of that, too, you look at them both offensively and defensively across the board, just among the nation's leaders in a variety of different categories. But this is a tough challenge in a tough road environment. Despite the 11 a.m. kickoff, the early kickoff for Fox, it's still an increasingly difficult challenge facing Justin Fields, Chase Young, J.K. Dobbins, and the Ryan Day-led Buckeyes.
Right. And, you know, you can make a case that Ohio State's the best and, you know, maybe even the most talented team in the country. Obviously they're firing on all cylinders right now. And I think they're kind of the class of the Big Ten. And obviously, you know, Penn State will have something to say about that later that year when these two programs square up. But it's a great test for Wisconsin. It was going to be a great test regardless of if they beat Illinois or not. I just think there's a lot of doubt in people's minds after watching an Illinois game, just because those first six games were so different and were so, you know, Wisconsin played so well in those games on both sides of the ball. And then, you know, what happened on Saturday, I think, puts a lot of doubt in people's minds. You talked about, you know, what Ohio State brings to the table. I think it was going to take a near perfect game for Wisconsin to win. Before they played Illinois, even coming into Ohio State. So I feel the same way. I think Wisconsin will be an underdog there, but I think they do have some pieces there where, you know, they can be in this ball game, and this could be a game that, is going deep in the fourth quarter where Wisconsin has a chance. But I just feel like if they fall behind in this game, it's going to be tough to dig themselves out of a hole. And, you know, with that being said, I think that Ohio State has the weapons to really, you know, maybe create some distance early. It's going to be really imperative that Wisconsin gets off to a good start. Otherwise, I think this game could also get out of hand pretty early as well.
Now, looking at some of the keys to the game is what we do every Thursday podcast. Let's go on the offensive side of the ball. Wisconsin, just giving you some stats real quick on Ohio State. Wisconsin is facing a defense that, you look at scoring defense, Ohio State gives up 8 points per game, second in the Big Ten, second in the FBS. To who? Wisconsin. Rush defense, fourth, giving up under 93 yards per contest. Passing defense, just over 136 yards per contest. Guess what? That's second best in the nation. And there's so much more. Quarterback sacks, Ohio State's averaging 4.1. And you have to watch out for Chase Young, as we talked with Kevin about that earlier. 9.5 sacks, 10.5 tackles for loss. And there's more stats we could break down, but that would just be too long. In your opinion, though, for Wisconsin's offense, what is the key to the game in hopes of upsetting the Buckeyes on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you have to be multidimensional. And, you know, I think you can go into a lot of games with Wisconsin and say, well, they have to establish the run. You know, I would make it an argument that establishing the pass might be even more important in this game, just because you have to be able to show Ohio State that you can, you know, both run and pass in this ball game. Otherwise, I just think that they stack the box against Taylor and they have the ability to make him a non-factor. So I think that, you know, they have the receivers to do that this year, and they have a tight end that can stretch the field as well. So I think that, one of my keys to the game is that Wisconsin, you know, led by Jack Cohn, who has been good through seven games this year, and they have to show the ability to pass the ball and stretch the field a little bit. They can't just look to pound, 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 because, eventually Ohio State will figure that out. And, you know, they have to be able to show more than just Jonathan Taylor in this game.
Agreed there to a point, you know, but I also feel like you have being multidimensional, and the pass very well may set up the run. But in my opinion, too, though, they have to figure out something to get Jonathan Taylor going. And this goes back to even to the Northwestern game. Wisconsin rushes for 387 yards against Michigan, and then it's 130 against, obviously, Northwestern. Kent State, they rebounded well against the MAC program, but it's a MAC program. No offense to them, but they couldn't withstand what Wisconsin had up front in terms of that defensive line. Michigan State, 222 yards, but they stuffed Taylor up pretty well with 80 yards on 26 carries. And for that matter, if it's not for Kendrick Prior 66-yard touchdown on an end around, that totals so much lower. And then, of course, against Illinois, 156 yards, 3.6 yards per carry on a defense that gave up over 200 entering the game and 324 against Big Ten teams prior to Saturday. So they have to figure out something there to – you have a Heisman caliber back there, and I think to have any chance, Taylor needs to go at least over the century mark on that note, and that's going to be a key, or even if it's just all-purpose yards, they need to get him rolling and get some rhythm, with just the running game and getting the Buckeyes just off kilter. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it's a much easier thing to say on a podcast compared to going up against these guys on the field, and it's going to be tough sledding, to say the least. But in my opinion, Wisconsin needs to establish some form of a run game there. And I do agree, though, Jack Cohn's going to be needed to get to the neck, get the ball downfield, move the chains, have scoring opportunities. And it doesn't get any easier, too, when it comes to, Ohio State's red zone defense. I think they're fourth in the nation, if I'm not mistaken, in that category. And Wisconsin was 2 of 5 in touchdowns in the red zone last week. So when they have opportunities, they also have to strike. Going over to the defensive side of the ball, John doesn't get any better. You have Justin Fields, who You know, we talked about it earlier with Kevin regarding his stats, but overall scoring offense, you know, first in the Big Ten, third in college football and in FBS play. Total offense, fifth in the, you know, in the nation, almost 530 yards. Rushing offense, nearly 290. Pass game, nearly 240. And of course, the rushing offense, third in the nation. And on top of that, too, they have the nation's best third down conversion rate, 56.1. On the flip side, Wisconsin's defense is best in the nation, giving up just over 16% of third down opportunities to opponents. So something's going to give there. But in your eyes, what are the keys to this game for Jim Leonard and his players?
Yeah, you mentioned all the weapons that Ohio State has there. You know, obviously at quarterback and running back, they're as good as anyone in the country. But I just think that at receiver, they're so good there as well. And I think that maybe the biggest mismatch of the game is, you know, Ohio State's wide receivers and Wisconsin's secondary. You know, even though secondary's much improved, you know, from last year, you know, and they got some guys who are playing good football right now. I just think that's where the advantage is. So I, you know, with that said, my key is limiting those big chunk plays, those big plays. And I think Ohio State is going to get their yards. They're going to get their points, but you can't have it all come in big chunks because, again, I think that if Wisconsin falls behind, that's going to be a tough hole to dig themselves out of. So, you know, you limit the big plays and, you know, that's obviously easier said than done against a team like Ohio State, but you know, they can't fall, you know, behind 14-0 and crawl out. I just think that Ohio State is too good. So that, you know, they have to limit the big plays. And obviously you want to do that for every game, but they just cannot fall behind in this game and give up big chunk plays early, or else I think this, you know, could kind of be over quickly for Wisconsin.
And that's something that what you mentioned is something that Fayon Hicks said in terms of limiting those big plays in the passing game. And that's going to be obviously something to watch. You saw what Illinois did with their receivers on Saturday in terms of getting some big chunk plays as well. My key revolves around turnovers or sacks. Wisconsin's got to create some big plays of their own, and they have to create some sort of havoc in the backfield. Again, easier said than done, especially with Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins in that backfield, where I could say a key to the game is obviously containing them, but that's, to me, that's only going to contain them for so long. They have to do something if they want to win. It's going to be having to force, get some sacks, create some turnovers of their own. Heck, I'll say even creating some defensive touchdowns, depending upon how stout Chase Young and others perform against Jack Cohn, Jonathan Taylor, and that offense. But going into this game, 14 sacks the Buckeyes have allowed through seven games. Wisconsin comes in 27 sacks overall in the first half year plus of the 2019 campaign. And Chris Orr has 8 already, including the 3 against Illinois last week. Zach Bond's got 6.5. So they lead the bunch. The defensive line has to clog up the holes and allow those linebackers to run free like you've seen. And again, easier said than done, but to have any chance into, you know, force Justin Fields and company into third and long situations, more manageable situations, they have to take care of business and create some pressure, create some havoc in that backfield. So that's my key to the game there. John, going to game predictions. We'll have this up, obviously, on BadgerBlitz.com coming up in our How to Watch post. Our staff writer, Asher Lowe, usually breaks that down every Friday evening, but a little bit of a spoiler here on BadgerBlitz.com's podcast. What's your game prediction in terms of scores for the Badgers and the Buckeyes in Columbus?
Yeah, I think there's ways that you can talk yourself into this one if you're a Wisconsin fan. You know, the first six games of the season, I don't think we're some blip on the radar. You know, I think this defense is very good. I think this offense can be dynamic. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, if you get him going, like you said, Jake, you know, he's the top running back in the country, and that'll be important. I just think that Ohio State is just too good on both sides of the ball. I do think that you're going to see a good effort from Wisconsin. I think that this game will kind of be back and forth early on, but eventually I just think Ohio State makes more timely plays and they make bigger plays throughout the day. I think they win by 2 touchdowns in a game that's maybe closer than what the score indicates.
That's a good call out. Right now, I think I said in the Buckeye Grove Q&A, I said 35-20 Ohio State. Maybe it's 31-17. and whatnot. I was thinking, like, will Wisconsin's offense be able to generate points on the board like you didn't see against Northwestern? Even for that matter, I mean, granted, they had 23 against Illinois, but they should have had so much more in that loss. But I'll say 35-20 for now, but I wouldn't be surprised 31-17. I think it's closer than people think, too. I think maybe it's a going into the third quarter, it's tighter. Wisconsin's going to have to withstand the second quarter of Ohio State because, case in point, Northwestern, Wildcats were only trailing 7-3 at the end of the first quarter. Buckeyes hang 24 points up there and coast for the rest of the game. For the season, Ohio State has outscored opponents in the second quarter 158-20. I'm sure you're going to hear that a lot on the telecast. If you guys listen to other pregame shows or other podcasts, I'm sure it's a popular stat, but that's something to watch. I think they can withstand it. I think it's going to go into the fourth quarter, but the home environment of Ohio State, the weapons, I think it might be too much there. Like I said, 35-20 or 31-17-ish. I think Buckeyes take it home, and Wisconsin falls to 6-2 on the season, entering its final open weekend before a critical four-game stretch in November where the margin for error is slim to none. On that note, John, what do we have coming up? Not just, of course, I'm going to be at basketball practice in just about an hour. As recording on late Thursday afternoon, and you guys will hear more about that on BadgerBlitz.com. We'll have, of course, post-game video analysis, takeaways, features. But what else should fans expect, especially with WIAA state playoffs starting this weekend?
Yeah, first round, getting started. I plan to get out to a game. I haven't decided what game just yet, but not as many great games in the first round, but if you take a look at what, you know, could potentially happen in the second round, there's some really good action. But I'll try to get out to a game tomorrow night, which is Friday. You're heading down to Columbus, so I'll have plenty of coverage of that. And then, you know, getting into a bye week, I think we're going to try to get some guests on the podcast as well. Potentially Ben Carlson, maybe a few other commits, just because there'll be some stuff, definitely some time to eat up with Wisconsin heading on its bye. But then, you know, Wisconsin basketball starts up. You said you're going to the practice tonight, Jake, and I believe that they begin on the 1st of November with their first scrimmage, and then, you know, obviously that season's getting geared up as well. So plenty of coverage to come from BadgerBlitz.com.
Yep, that's what's going to happen on our bye weekend. It's all basketball previews probably and a little bit of recapping through the first 8 games as well. But, yeah, next Friday, November 1st, preseason game, and then it all starts the next week thereafter. So stay tuned, folks, and, of course, you guys can follow – everything on BadgerBlitz.com, Wisconsin.Rivals.com, on Facebook, Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. Looking at Twitter, John McNamara at McNamara Rivals. Me, Jake Kokorowski at Jake Coco, and the Badger Blitz account at Badger_Blitz. For that matter, for this podcast, hey, we would love to have feedback to make this show even better than what it is right now. We appreciated the feedback we've gotten so far. 5-star reviews are always welcomed, but we also want genuine feedback. And so, like, again, please let us know what we can do better to make that happen, to make it this the best Wisconsin-based podcast out there. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. On that note, folks, when you hit subscribe, this is a free podcast. You don't have to worry about any type of payment with this podcast. What it does do, though, whenever you click that, from whatever device like Apple, what it does, whenever a new episode hits, it goes straight to your iPhone, your iPad, your Android phone, your desktop, your laptop, wherever you listen to podcasts, that will be there for you. So please click that button and get all the latest news, notes, and analysis from the recruiting trail on the field and near the rim here on BadgerBlitz.com. On that note, have a great weekend for those traveling to Columbus. Be safe. Stay dry. It's supposed to be rainy. We didn't even talk about that. That could completely change the complexion of the game as well. But we'll talk to you guys coming up next week on another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.